Hi, I'm Dan Webster, film critic for Spokane Public Radio and blogger for Spokane7.com.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic, full-time law professor at Gonzaga University School of Law.
And I'm Nathan Weinbender, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio and film and music editor for The Inlander.
And welcome to Movies 101, the show that continues to seek out quality cinema wherever we can find it. And yes, movie theaters are reopening with decreased seating capacities and other safety measures, but we continue to find the best variety of movies online. This past week, that meant our checking out the Netflix production, I Care a Lot, followed by the VOD, or video on demand feature from Hungary, titled Preparations to Be Together for an Unknown Period of Time. Finally, we'll preview the 2021 Spokane Jewish Cultural Film Festival by running through its schedule, beginning with the 2019 Israeli film, Incitement. Let's begin this week's show by discussing the latest feature starring Rosamund Pike. Pike plays Marla Grayson, a self-styled predator in what she describes as a binary world of predators and prey. Determined to be a winner at all costs, Marla has crafted a career as a legal guardian of elders and others who have been determined to lack the ability to care for themselves. One problem, it's all a con, leaving Marla in a position to drain her so-called clients of everything they own. All goes well until she comes up against a woman, played by Diane Wiest, who has a secret relationship with a character played by Peter Dinklage that threatens to upend all of Marla's well-laid plans. In a study of evil versus evil, writer-director Jay Blakeson has created a film that works well enough, even weighing an effective light tone against some fairly heavy moments of violence. And Pike makes for a riveting piranha of a protagonist. The film's problem, though, comes from Blakeson's ultimate failure to remain true to the notion that evil's triumph can feel both gleeful and depressing at the same time.
I think the main problem about I Care a Lot is the fact that we're talking about elder abuse. And that is hard to, I guess, skewer, especially during COVID times. And so that's gonna be a tough lift regardless. And then we're talking about Rosamund Pike's performance, for which she won a Golden Globe recently. And so things that I had problems with respect to this film, maybe I'm in the minority in this regard. But it starts out with a promising premise about how people can manipulate the system because Rosamund Pike, using her best sort of Gone Girl persona at different times, gets a lot of involvement from others who are going to be with her in this scheme to rip off people. So this really focuses on what happens when someone becomes a guardian for another person. And there are public guardians and there are people who need guardians. So I think this is a serious subject. And I have no problem with skewering serious subjects. It just did not go far enough. It went too far and not far enough at the same time. I appreciated seeing Peter Dinklage again because he turns out to be her nemesis, so to speak. But at the same time, we don't have anyone to root for. But they're not sufficiently evil so that we can hate them in the way that might have worked as well. I do want to give a shout out here to Diane Wiest, who plays a character who is going to be the object or the subject of the Marlon Grayson, Rosamund Pike's character scam. I thought she did an excellent job. I also like the fact that we saw Isa Gonzalez as Rosamund Pike's counterpart, her lover, her partner in crime, and so forth. So there's much to like about this movie. I just think it missed the mark a little bit. In a study of evil versus evil, it needed either to take it down a notch and so we could appreciate fully that there was someone on the other side, because there is no one investigating this. The fact that the doctor, the judge, the people who run the nursing home are all in cahoots, either it needed to have an antagonist or a protagonist sort of dynamic, or it needed to ramp up the evil component a bit more.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's really tough to pull off this kind of dark comedy. We've seen this sort of movie fail before, where you've got a main character who is so obviously irredeemable, and which is taking very uncomfortable material and trying to find satire within it. And I think there are parts of I Care a Lot that do work. My favorite scene in the movie was one we haven't mentioned yet, which is between Rosamund Pike and Chris Messina, who comes in and has this one scene cameo as an attorney who also has questionable motives, where we think maybe he's going to be sort of like the, you know, champion, the point counterpoint here. Yeah. And that doesn't go the way that we expect it to. And I agree with you, you know, Diane Wiest, it's always good to see her, and her character takes these unexpected turns, you know, the more time that we spend with her. And I think the first hour or so, 45 minutes of this movie are about the legal industrial complex and the medical industrial complex and how they can work in concert to essentially imprison the people that they're supposed to protect. I mean, the court system here is being used by the Rosamund Pike character as a weapon in order to steal all this money from these people and then put them in essentially a prison so that they can't defend themselves. And I thought the way that played out, it has an almost kind of Scorsese-like pattern to it, where you're seeing the process of how these schemes unfold. And I thought that it was done really well and had kind of a vicious sense of satire to it. And then about halfway through, you're introduced to the Peter Dinklage character, and this movie becomes like a thriller for a while. And it's one of my pet peeves in movies happens here, which is it's set in the real world or like a heightened version of the real world. And yet as soon as these action set pieces come in, Rosamund Pike is acting like she's Liam Neeson in Taken or something like that. You know, she's surviving these scrapes that she wouldn't realistically be able to. And it's just kind of predictable, where I knew how it was going to play out. And it's a good chunk of this movie before then it kind of wraps itself up with more satire. I don't want to give the ending away, but I thought that it lost its nerve as well and almost completely misses the entire point of everything that came before it. So this is a real bumpy ride for me. It has some good stuff. The performances are good. I don't know if they're award worthy good,
no.
But you know, this could have been sort of a network style takedown of capitalism and consumerism and healthcare. It only kind of works in half measures all the way through.
I actually like the part where the tables get turned on Marla. And as you both pointed out, she's irredeemable. But then when she becomes the target of evil herself, it's like you can't help but start rooting for her a little bit.
It reminded me. I did not at all.
It reminded me of the 1993 Australian movie Romper Stomper, where Russell Crowe plays a neo-Nazi and he's a horrible person. But then when he gets targeted by a bunch of Vietnamese gangs, it's like, oh man, can you get away? It did work for me a little bit. But I totally agree. I turned to Mary Pat when this movie was over and I said, there is a filmmaker who lost courage, because if you're going to embrace evil, embrace it all the way. And as you say, Nathan, let's do a whole takedown of capitalism by glorifying the evils of it.
Well, but when the tables do get turned on the Rosamund Pike character, I mean, didn't you have the same problem I did, which is there's a scene where, just to give an example, they kill her, but they try and stage it so it looks like she killed herself, and she gets out of that. It felt like something out of like the Kill Bill franchise, where it's like,
sure,
no way that this would happen. And so it
at that point, I was just going with, it's a movie and this is what's going to happen. So I didn't really have a problem with that, but I understand your criticism of it. I think that's far less important than the ending, which is a total cop-out.
Yeah.
And again, I think my problem, maybe because I is an old person, maybe my problem was the subject of the whole scam that they were pulling. Because it's one thing if you're ripping off people's money. It's another thing, as you both pointed out, if you're imprisoning them. And that happens in a couple different ways here.
Sweetie, I think you need to gonna go to your room now. And what is your
medication?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, but I did appreciate the course of dealing and the relationship among the different characters. And people, you know, Rosamund Pike is unabashed. Her character, Marla Grayson, is unabashed in the fact that she grew up poor and she realizes that if she doesn't take someone, someone's going to take advantage of her.
There are people who take and there are those who get took.
I brought up Network earlier, which is one of my all-time favorite movies. And that, I mean, that is one of the great, if not the greatest satire of capitalism and consumerism that exists, at least in America. And I just kept thinking of, you know, Faye Dunaway's performance in that movie, and I wanted more of that. And that is, that Network is not a subtle film. That is not a movie that is dealing in shades of gray. So I don't mind the fact that I Care a Lot isn't subtle. I just think that it's bombastic in all the wrong ways. And it's so much more frustrating in the end, because I think it had so much potential and it squanders most of it. A lot of people seem to really like this, but yes, it did not click with me.
I do not understand it. Bombastic in so many wrong ways, and not bombastic enough in the right ways. So at any rate, that was I Care a Lot. This is Movies 101, and it's time to take a short break. Before we go, remember that you can access podcasts of Movies 101 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Nathan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to look at the Hungarian film, I'll take a deep breath here, Preparations to Be Together for an Unknown Period of Time, and to preview the 2021 Spokane Jewish Cultural Film Festival. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio. And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Dan Webster. During the first half of the show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I discussed the Netflix feature, I Care a Lot. Let's now move to the Hungarian import, Preparations to Be Together for an Unknown Period of Time. And then we'll preview the 2021 Spokane Jewish Cultural Film Festival, which begins this weekend. Let's begin with a strange kind of Hungarian romance. Eastern Europe has a tradition of producing films with mind-bending plots. To some extent, Hungarian writer-director Lili Horvat follows that tradition with her ungainly titled film, Preparations to Be Together for an Unknown Period of Time. A brain surgeon gives up a job in the U.S. and returns home to Budapest, all in the hopes of reconnecting to a man who she believes might be her soulmate. But when she finds him, he claims not to remember her. And what follows is the woman's search for meaning, not just about him, but about herself as well. Horvat may not have any larger secrets to share, but that's typical of a filmmaker who, in the end, is more interested in romance than the vagaries of existentialism. And I just jump in here real quickly and add that I was much more of a film like the Hungarian, I think 2018 film, Jupiter's Moon, which was a mind-bending exercise in existentialism. This one I thought was existential light.
Well, it reminds me more of something like La Aventura, the Antonioni film, which...
Oh, please, and you're mentioning that in the same sentence?
No, I'm not saying that it's up to that caliber. Very few films are, but it's similar. It's similar in what it's trying to do, because, I mean, that was a movie about a bunch of friends, one of their friends goes missing. They go to look for her. They get distracted by their own ennui, and everyone forgets really? that the mystery even happened. And this kind of has that same vibe. You know, it's rare. I was thinking about this because it's rare to see a movie that is kind of a whodunit, or where someone's trying to solve a strange case, where the payoff is as intriguing as all of the setup. And I think this one is pretty anticlimactic. I mean, I know that I just compared it to a movie where the whole point of the film is there is no point to the mystery, that it's about kind of getting lost along the way. But this has such a big buildup to, is this guy, is he, you know, putting her on? Is she mistaking him for someone else? Is she losing her sanity?
Is he a figment of her imagination?
Yeah. Is this some kind of fantasy? And so there are all of these, you know, intriguing possibilities. And then the you know, final 10 minutes is just kind of a fizzle. It's like, oh, okay. But I think for most of its running time, and I want to say the title again because I love it, Preparations to Be Together for an Unknown Period of Time. I just love that. I think for most of its running time, though, and it's a pretty short movie, it's intriguing. I'll say that word again. I mean, it's about memory. It's about perception, because she starts to wonder if she's losing her grip on reality, and there's kind of this dark irony in the fact that she's a neurosurgeon, which that job kind of requires you to be lucid and kind of understand the nature of reality and all of that. And she feels like maybe she's kind of losing her sense of lucidness. So I thought for the most part, you know, this is an 80-minute film. For a good 70 minutes, I was very much with it. I thought that the ending was a letdown. So I'm willing to give it a pass, even if I did find it ultimately disappointing, because I think there are moments of beauty and weirdness and poetry in here. And I believe this is a first-time filmmaker, or it's maybe her second feature. I'm curious to see what she does next, because I thought this was an interesting film. I'm sure a lot of people will be bored and disappointed in it, but I'm going to go ahead and like it anyway.
And we start out from the very beginning with this premise that seems almost improbable. And that's reflected in the comments that our protagonist receives from everybody. Because let's face facts, this woman is a neurosurgeon in the United States. And then on a whim, seemingly, she relocates back to her home country. And the contrast between what she had been dealing with in the U.S. versus what she's seeing now returning to Hungary. It does sort of harken back to Soviet times.
Yeah. And even the gender dynamics of the hospital that she transfers to.
Yeah. Right. And so we have to get beyond that hurdle to begin with. So we know that this woman must be motivated by something that she feels is real. The other thing that happens in this film that I found to be intriguing is she has obviously chosen or been ordered to go see a therapist, a psychiatrist who works in her own complex in this hospital where she's working. And I really like those interludes because that does sort of give us a sense of what's going on. Gee, maybe she's not imagining this, although we're inclined to believe that she is for various reasons. She refuses to get in touch with her old friends. She isolates herself. And this woman who is the star, whose name I cannot pronounce.
It's Hungarian.
So that's the same thing. I was thinking about the title of this film. I wonder what the title of the film is in Hungarian, because this is quite a mouthful, even as much as Nathan enjoys saying it over and over. But the woman who stars in this film is strikingly beautiful. I mean, she has these eyes that just glow like the Cillian Murphy eyes. And at one point, I thought they were sort of playing games with that so that we wouldn't know that maybe she was evidencing two personas in her presentation of this particular character.
By the way, the woman's name is Natasha Stork. I'm not sure that's how you pronounce it, but
yeah,
okay. That's how
close
it comes across
for our purposes
in English.
But yeah, this tried to explore some deep themes, but in the end, it just slightly missed. But I'll look forward to seeing what this filmmaker does next.
Yeah. And that was Preparations to Be Together for an Unknown Period of Time. Let's close with our preview of the Spokane Jewish Cultural Film Festival, beginning with a look at the film Incitement. Similar to other film events that are having to adjust to the pandemic lockdown, the 2021 Spokane Jewish Cultural Film Festival is going online. And this year's film will kick off with the 2019 Israeli film Incitement, directed by Yaron Zilberman, which takes us into the mind of a right-wing extremist named Yigal Amir, who in 1995 assassinated Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. Like many of the films that this festival has featured over the years, Incitement is a serious look at an issue that haunts societies all over today's world. In this case, a penetrating portrayal of a person twisted by hate. To study the film's full lineup, you need to go to sajfs.org.
Yeah, and let's just say that the festival kicks off on March 3rd and runs through the 12th. And like a lot of virtual film events that have been happening, you actually get like a couple days window to watch these movies. So you don't necessarily have to start it at the same time as, you know, as everybody else, or be at the theater at a specific time like you would at an in-person festival. So if you do, you know, happen to miss the premiere, you can still catch it. I think you get 3 days to watch these. And a lot of them have, you know, filmmaker Q&As and expert Q&As. And you mentioned Incitement, which is this very complex kind of, it's a very personal kind of taxi driver-like story of extremism and violence, but it's also about this very complex piece of Israeli history. And so if ever a movie cried out for an expert to come in and kind of connect all the dots for you after the film, it's Incitement. So I might tune in just to watch the expert Q&A, because a lot of this movie went over my head because it sort of, it doesn't hold your hand. It expects you to know sort of the details of this going in, I think. So I think that's a huge boon when you have an event like this that allows you to get, you know, sort of insider or expert information on how these movies are made and what inspired them.
And the good news is, if for some reason you are not privy to the historical events, obviously we have the Google and you can go sort of check out what happens. But there's also this course of dealing relationship that I think remind me of the film Unorthodox and some other films about how these courtship rituals develop and so forth. And this, there's a particularly telling scene where the woman goes to the home of Yigal, and she's just overwhelmed by everyone who's there. And we see her sort of leave abruptly and so forth. And then he's in law school, and we see these things that grab hold of him. And I think that this film is particularly meaningful today, because we can see how people become true believers on multiple levels and how that can play out certainly for ill.
I think
we need radicalization.
I think we need to point out that it's this particular film festival, the Spokane Jewish Cultural Film Festival, over the years features some of the best films that play in Spokane. I mean, traditionally that's been true for the past decade at least. So, and it's there's a variety of films, features and shorts. And as Nathan pointed out, there are a lot of chances for people to go beyond simply what they see on the big screen. So that was Incitement, and that was our preview of the 2021 Spokane Jewish Cultural Film Festival. This is Movies 101. I'm Dan Webster, and earlier in the show, Nathan Weinbinder, Mary Pat Truthart, and I discussed I Care a Lot, and take a deep breath, preparations to be together for an unknown period of time. Let's take this moment and thank Peter Glarberg for both producing and engineering the show. We thank you to our loyal listeners. We invite you back next week, same time, same spot on the radio dial, when we'll again check out all the best that streaming cinema has to offer. Until then, remember these words from the cynical but honest late poet Charles Bukowski. People see so many movies that when they finally see one not so bad as the others, they think it's great. An Academy Award means that you don't stink quite as much as your cousin. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.